So if I'm a criminal and I jump bail and I have to choose between having the cops bring me in for a trial or a bounty hunter, I definitely want to put that job in the hands of the police.
Bounty hunters are much more likely to get their man. I like to say that the bounty hunters are the true long arm of the law.
I know what you're thinking. Bounty hunters? Those motorcycle vigilantes with their glam rock hair and their big biceps and tattoos? Those are the guys who have a higher capture rate than the police? Not exactly, says Alex Tabarrok. He's an economist at George Mason University and co-author of a paper that looks at the commercial bail bond industry.
So after we'd published this article, some of the bounty hunters actually got in touch with me. And I said, hey, you know, maybe I should be a little bit of a roguish kind of character. And I asked if I could go out with them actually on the streets and actually learn outside of my office what bounty hunting was all about.
Tabarrok went off with a bounty hunter named Dennis in Baltimore. He learned that bounty hunting is all about business. No high-speed chases, no gun battles. As Dennis made clear, you don't want to rough up the fugitives or their families because, well, here, Tabarrok will tell you.
The bounty hunters, they're very polite. Yeah, these guys, they're not breaking down doors at all. And I asked Dennis why this is. And he says it's because we do rely a lot on repeat business. You know, he tells me about one of his customers who told him quite proudly that we've been coming to this firm for three generations. You know, it's just awful, really.
From APM, American Public Media, and WNYC, this is Freakonomics Radio. Today, to catch a fugitive, who's better, police or bounty hunters? Here's your host, Stephen Dubner.
You may have heard recently about the trouble caused by a certain well-heeled gentleman who used to run the International Monetary Fund. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, a Frenchman, allegedly committed a sexual assault against a housekeeper in his Manhattan hotel and, shortly afterward, boarded a flight home to France. But the police plucked him off the plane and arrested him. He's since been charged and now awaits trial. But he's not in jail. Instead, he's out on bail, a $1 million cash payment and a $5 million bond. Now, that money is meant to guarantee that Strauss-Kahn will show up at his trial. And it's hard to imagine that he could flee. He's under court-ordered 24-hour surveillance. But if he did somehow manage to scram, we're talking bounty hunter bingo, baby. Here's how commercial bail bonds work. Let's say you're arrested for a crime, and the judge releases you on a $5,000 bail. Now, you don't have the money, so you go to your local bail bondsman. You fill out an application that asks for all kinds of information. Your previous arrests, your employer, union membership, make and model of your car, even your kids' names and where they go to school. Now, the bondsman agrees to pay the court that $5,000 in return for a 10% fee. So you pay him $500 and you sign a contract promising to show up in court. Now, if you're a no-show on your court date, it's the bondsman's $5,000 that's at risk. The judge gives him 90 days to find you, and that's when your bondsman picks up the phone, calls a bounty hunter. Under current law, bounty hunters have a lot of latitude. They can break into a fugitive's home without a warrant. They can chase suspects across state lines without worrying about extradition proceedings. They can search and seize without constraint. Now, there are some limits. Bounty hunters can't use unnecessary force, and they're liable if they break into the wrong home. But for some people, that's not nearly enough. Four states, Wisconsin, Oregon, Illinois, and Kentucky, have banned commercial bail bonds. And the U.S. is, in fact, one of only two countries in the world that allow this system. The other is the Philippines. One former Supreme Court justice called the bail bond industry odorous. But Alex Tabarrok, the economist, he doesn't see it that way. Especially if you look at the economics of the criminal justice system.
Yeah, I was shocked when I first saw this data. 25% of defendants, felony defendants, simply fail to show up on the day of their trial. It was a huge number. I was flabbergasted. So this means that the judge's time is wasted, the lawyer's time is wasted, the prosecutor's time is wasted, the police, they have to go out and try and recapture this guy. It's a big cost to the criminal justice system. And moreover, justice delayed is justice denied. If people can repeatedly flaunt the justice system by failing to show up and extend the time, which means that witnesses become harder to find, the more time it takes to get to the trial, people get evidence gets lost, paperwork gets lost, things get shuffled around, witnesses disappear, you know, they move, whatever. This really is a cost to the legal system.
Tabarrok and a colleague, Eric Helland, analyzed data on 36,000 felony defendants in the U.S.
And we thought it would be interesting to see whether people who are released on commercial bail, whether they're more likely to show up, and if they flee, are they more likely to be recaptured? Because if you're out on commercial bail and you flee, it's the bail bondsman who's out the money. The bail bondsman has put up your $5,000 bail. And if you don't show up, he loses the $5,000. So this is a classic case of incentives. Do incentives work? Do the bail bondsmen have the right incentives to go after these guys with the bounty hunters? That's where the bounty hunters come in and bring them back to justice.
Tabarrok found that people who are released on commercial bail, who know that a bounty hunter will be after them if they skip court, that they're substantially more likely to show up than someone who's released on his own recognizance or on government bail. In that case, you typically pay a deposit of just a few hundred dollars. But fugitives behave differently when they know a bounty hunter may be after them. And it's not only the bounty hunter they're worried about.
The way a lot of this works is they get somebody to co-sign on the bond, a family member or a friend to co-sign on the bond. So this means that if the defendant skips town, that not only is the bail bondsman out, but potentially so is the friend who is co-signed on the bond or the family member who is co-signed on the bond. And I asked again Dennis about this, and he says, I deal with a lot of mean people in my business. These guys, they're not afraid of me. They're not afraid of the police, but they're still afraid of their mother. So if I get the mother to co-sign on the bond, and this guy knows that the mother might lose her house if he doesn't show up for trial, he's going to show up for trial.
So the fugitives have an incentive to not run away. But if they do, the bounty hunters really have an incentive. Unlike a police officer who's on salary, a bounty hunter only gets paid if he brings a fugitive in. And the data prove it. Tabarrok found that bounty hunters are 50% more likely than the police to get their man. Wow, so if I'm a taxpayer, which I happen to be, then I have to be thinking, wow, so we've got a system of law and order. We try to find the bad guys. We give them their day in court. But while they're waiting for that day in court, they're often out on bail, free to roam around. And then if I, as a taxpayer, want to make sure that my dollars are well spent and that the bad guys are being brought back in for trial, I like the private industry take on this more than the government take on this a lot, don't I?
Yeah, you really do, because not only do the bail bondsmen work at no taxpayer expense, there's a little bit of a justice involved in that the guys who flee, they're paying their own pursuers. I kind of like that. It's from the these defendants themselves. Uh-huh. The money comes for the bounty hunters to go after them. And it's even a little bit better than that, because the bounty hunters, they're good, but they don't always get their man. You know, sometimes the guy flees town, and the bounty hunters, the bail bondsmen, they usually have about 90 to 180 days. So the judge says, if this guy... the bounty hunter has put up $5,000 of bail, and the judge says, this guy hasn't showed up. He tells the bail bondsman, you've got 90 to 180 days, it varies by state, to bring this guy to justice. If you don't bring him to justice within that period of time, that bail is forfeit. So when that bail is forfeit, that actually goes to the taxpayer. So the taxpayer can actually make some money. And this is not a huge chunk of change, but it's millions of dollars in different states. And at the federal level, forfeit bonds actually go to a crime victim fund. So that's kind of a nice, also a nice piece of justice to this.